Well, we're straying just for a week from our series called Seasons. Next week, we're actually speaking on seasons. We're going to talk about recovery, and next week is going to be a good week. I have a friend coming to speak to us from Celebrate Recovery in Victoria, and he has an incredible testimony that he's going to share with us, and he's going to come and just encourage and bless, and you will want to be here next week. Recovery is for anyone, basically, who's walked through anything, who's in a traumatic experience now, who's got any hurts, who's got any hang-ups, who's got any habits, who's got anything. We have a guy who's coming, and he's going to speak to us about that and remind us of who Jesus is in that. And so you need to be here. It's going to be good. But this week, I'm just going to speak a little bit briefer on Thanksgiving, on thanking God, on being grateful, on having gratitude. I want to tell you, right now you saw those banners. By the way, just because I'm speaking doesn't mean you need to stop. If you want to go and sign some banners, you can sign some banners even while I'm speaking. It's a crazy Sunday. But anyways, you can go and do that. Those banners are for places like the ambulance or the fire hall or the police or the school board or things like that in our community. We want to sign those and say thank you just for being you. Thank you for serving this community. Thank you for making the Comox Valley a place that's so incredible to be. And thank you for partnering with us as we invest in people and care for people. And so those, I actually went into the school board this year for some meetings, and they had that right on their wall. Right when I walked in, the first thing you see, and Sheila, did you have a part of that, Sheila? Anyways, we walk in, and there it was, and it's just so incredible. People who go there for school board stuff walk in and say, Northgate Church seems to be a thankful community. That's nice. And that is a nice testimony. That's a special thing. So that's what all those are for, and then these pies are for our neighbors. Last year, at about this time, in fact, I looked on Instagram, it was exactly 52 weeks ago, which makes sense. I was deciding whether or not I should fill out a form that was called the Prospective Minister's Form for Foursquare Canada. And that form was going to determine whether or not this church had a little bit more of a look at Kendall and I to be the potential lead pastors of this church. And I was stewing on that form, wondering if I should fill it out. I was praying and taking time, and Kendall and I were batting it around, and I actually talked to the superintendent of the Pentecostal Assemblies of Canada and said, what do I do with this form? I don't know if I'm supposed to fill it out or not. And one of the things, I can specifically remember the moment, I started following your old pastor named Pastor Scott Gilardi. And I started following him on Instagram, and Thanksgiving rolled around, and I saw a picture of all these banners. And all of those banners were heading out into the community and said, we are going to be a thankful people, and we're going to thank the service industry of the Comox Valley. And I thought, that is crazy. That's awesome. Sometimes as churches, we think that we can only thank Christian organizations, or only thank Christian people, or only identify good things in those who have given their life to Jesus. But God created all things. And so when I saw that, I was so encouraged. I just thought, I can't even believe that that church is doing that. Then I heard that pies go out to the neighborhood. And by the way, there are some people in this church who randomly in the past few weeks have gotten testimonies about those pies. It's pretty neat. At workplaces, people will find out, yeah, I'm from Northgate Church, and you know how sometimes I'm from Northgate Church, and they said that some people have said, Northgate Church, it's because of them that I get a pie every Thanksgiving. That's a great testimony. Like, okay, yeah, but did you give your life to the Lord? You know? Because if you didn't, I don't know if that pie did anything. You know? No, people are loving the pies. People are saying, the church reached out to me. The church cares for me. They didn't even ask for it. In fact, on those little tags, it says, by the way, come back for another free thing. Come back and get candy and have fun on October 31st because your church cares about your community. Wouldn't it be awesome if every neighborhood said, all we need in this neighborhood is a church so that our kids can be cared for and have fun? Wouldn't that be pretty cool? Instead of churches coming and say, just so you know, you need a church so that Jesus will be known here. No, and what if neighborhoods started saying, we need a church. that neighborhood over there has a church and everything changed because of it. Everything was good because of it. All the sorts of life started coming because of it. Wouldn't that be awesome? And so when I saw that on Instagram, I thought, that's it. I'm signing this form. You know, I started writing on the form. I said, Lord, I want to be part of that church. I want to be part of what's going on in that church. I want to walk alongside of people who have that heart for their community and that heart for their world. I want to be part of that. And so today for Thanksgiving, I'll tell you something with the most sincerity of heart. I'm so thankful to be part of this church. Kendall and I are both so thankful to be part of this church. We're so glad to have gotten to know you. We're so glad that in 7 months we feel like we have good friends. We feel like we have people who care about us. We feel like we have people who will partner with for years to come, and moving forward and believing for greater things to come in the kingdom of God and in the Comox Valley. We're just so thankful that we get to be part of this with you. And I'm thankful for staff. I'm thankful for these staff. For the people who are here who love Jesus. I'm thankful for the volunteers in this church. There are so many volunteers who give up so much time. I'm thankful for you. I don't know if you know this, but the church doesn't exist if we don't have volunteers, if we don't have people giving of their time and giving of their money. Church doesn't exist if we don't have people investing in the church, honestly. I'll go home and I'll just be at home and just doing my own thing. I might have some Bible studies or things, but we don't have this if people don't invest in it. Thanks be to God that we've had people invest in this and dream for this. That's an incredible thing. I'm thankful that at the beginning of this year we had somewhere around 7 small groups. Now we have about 22 going. That's a really special thing, isn't it? We have more and more people meeting in homes and getting to know other Christians. And our goal for that is that people would be known. And we just believe that God is doing a great work. I'm thankful for that. Thank you. It's just a big thank fest. Thank love fest. It's awesome. Psalm 100. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before Him with joyful songs. Know, I like that this is a command. It's not a look into it and discover. Know that the Lord is good. In all circumstances, the Lord is good. In all challenges, the Lord is good. Don't just believe, know it. Just trust it. Just believe in Him. Know it. He is good. It is He who made us. And we are His. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him and praise His name. For the Lord is good. Is there an echo in this place? And His love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. His faithfulness continues through all generations. As a kid, I was taught to say thank you. My parents taught me. They wanted a little cute boy with good manners. And so they gave me a side part mushroom cut and taught me to say thank you. That was the way. Then all of a sudden I'd be the cute good manner boy. And so they say, okay, here's when you say thank you. Someone does something nice for you. Someone holds the door for you. You know, after your meal, you say thank you to that. Well, what if I don't like it, Mom? No, you still say thank you. Okay, that's good. That got you off the hook, Mom. Okay, so you say thank you. And you make sure you're constantly saying thank you after that. If someone says something nice to you, you know, it looks like your hair is filling in today, Pastor. You say thank you. You appreciate those types of compliments. We've learned to say thank you. We learn that there are appropriate times for us to use the words thank you. My kids are learning this too. We want them to do it. My son doesn't have the side part yet, but eventually will, I'm sure. And we start teaching them that, but they both sort of do it in different ways. They say thank you in different ways. Like our daughter, if you compliment her on her dress, she'll either go and run away, or just like hide herself in me or something, or she'll say, oh, thank you. That's one of her ways. That's just how she said. No, no, and you know, our daddy didn't teach her that. I'll tell you that. I didn't teach her that way. Okay, Isabella, we're going to go through. I want you to be a girl with good manners, so come here. Now, practice. Nice dress. No, I didn't teach her that. I didn't do that. She learned that on her own. I don't know where that came from. And then our boy, Hardy, he says, Don't do, daddy. I never knew daddy would be an alliteration with thank you, but it is with my son. Don't do, daddy. You know, you give him something, don't do, daddy. It's really cute, actually. And sort of, I'm finding right now that it's quite fun to say also. But he says, they both sort of started learning to say thank you. And all of us have determined that there are appropriate times to say thank you, and then there are not really appropriate times to say thank you. Like, there are some times when thank you just wouldn't necessarily fit in our mind, where we wouldn't necessarily say thank you. I looked up online, actually, some ideas. When does thank you not fit? And there's all sorts of different things that people said. But the Bible says this in 1 Thessalonians 5:16. To 18. Be joyful always, pray continually, and give thanks when everything is good. No. You guys are awake. And give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. All circumstances. Can you imagine that? No. I know the appropriate time to say thanks. This is not it. You know, no, actually, all circumstances. In everything. Philippians 4:6 says, do not be anxious about anything. So what are you going to do about your anxiousness? Here's what you do. In everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. Do not be anxious about anything. Instead, be thankful. Like, thankfulness becomes something that starts to fight anxiousness. It feels funny a little bit. I started thinking about other situations where we might feel anxious. Did anyone know that there was a black bear in our parking lot last week? Careful when you go to your cars today, okay? And I just thought, like, what if I was walking out and carrying on and a black bear showed up and I started feeling a little bit anxious? So I just started saying, thank you. Thank you, black bear. You know, that doesn't make sense, right? We wouldn't do that. That doesn't. But God says to us, hey, in all circumstances, when you are nervous, when you're afraid, when you're uncertain, when you're not sure about where to go, when you have doubts, come to me and say, thank you. Thank you works. Thank you is a good thing in all circumstances, in all times. It battles even anxiety. Thanksgiving does. We tend to be probably one of four people. Usually. Either one, we always complain and are never happy. Oh, no, only a few of us in the room. So I think probably if that's you, you sort of said, well, of course no one's that. That one's dumb. These are the people who come over to your house and you make a Thanksgiving dinner and they say, okay, so do you have anything else? And if not, please get me some ketchup and ranch, you know. Pour it on. This is not good. And then, you know, like, and why is it that the dishes are taking so long? I'm ready for dessert. You know, okay, so that's maybe that's you, maybe not. Second one, we don't, some people who don't complain too much, but they don't give thanks too much either. These people are okay to be around. They're not as bad. They might come to your Thanksgiving dinner, and you're wondering how it is for them. You're watching them. They're not really saying anything. You know, they're just sort of doing their thing. So they're enjoying something without thanking you, but they might go and do the dishes without complaining. So that works. Those are okay people to be around. So either we complain and are never happy, or we don't complain too much, but we don't give too much thanks. Or there's this one. We give thanks when things are going well, but not when things aren't. You know, those are the people who come over to your house for a meal 1 week and they say, thank you so much. This meal is delicious. I can't believe you made this. Did you make this from scratch? Wow. And it's like you're eating a, you know, Little Caesar's hot and ready pizza or something like that. I can't believe, thank you so much for this incredible pizza. Thank you that I can come over to your house. And you're thinking, we need to have that person over more. Because that's so much, like Thanksgiving, people who are grateful are life-giving. And so you're around that person. Oh, we need to have them over again. They come over next time. You've made up a nice shepherd's pie or something like that. They say, where's the pizza? I don't like this. You know? That's probably where actually most of us, sort of sounds funny, is probably where most of us actually fit. Where probably most of us, circumstances are good, and we're thank you, God, for all the good things in life. The sun is shining, the grass is green, you know, I'm driving down the road and I see some flowers blooming as I go. Like, it's all good, thank you so much. The rain starts to come, like, oh, I hate the West Coast. What am I doing on this island? Get me off this island. You know, like, what are we doing? That's probably where more of us fit. And so how do we go from there to all of a sudden becoming people who give thanks in all circumstances? Who give thanks in every circumstance? How do we switch and become those type of people? How do we become something new? Well, it's understanding that thank you is not just words. It's actually a condition of your heart. Thankfulness is the condition, a condition of your heart. And being thankful is different than saying thank you. Being thankful to God is different than just saying thank you. When we are thankful, our attitude changes. You know that those who have more gratitude, studies have shown, those who have more gratitude have a longer life expectancy. Isn't that crazy? Why? Why do you think that is? I'm going to tell you why. Because God wants you on this planet. Like, that's a nice person to be around. I'll keep them. I'm just kidding. I don't think God does that. But honestly, it starts to wear us out when we're always having to complain about things and looking for new things to complain about and seeing the world in such a tragic way and looking at everything and say, I can't believe how bad, you know, this whole world is and how bad all these people are and how bad my job is and how bad my marriage is and how bad my life is and how bad my kids are. Instead, what in your life might be worth thanking God for? Because the Bible says that you can thank Him in all circumstances. What is the circumstance right now that is keeping you from thanking Him? What's the thing right now that you can't stop complaining about? What would it look like to plant some thank yous around that thing? To put some thank yous somewhere. It's like when you see something and it seems like it's all bad, but you can see the silver lining. Christ gives us that. Hey, wait a sec. There it is. There's something. Something to look at. I know it looks stormy, but there's a silver lining. The sun's coming out. It's going to be here. It's coming soon. Hold on. There's a story. It's a well-known story. In fact, I think I've even spoken about it here. But it's a story of Jesus and His disciples, and they go to feed 5,000 people with a few fish and some loaves of bread. Certainly not enough for 5,000 people. And in fact, it could have been more like 10 to 15, even 20,000 people, based on how they counted. But anyways, here's the story, Matthew 14, 13 to 19. When Jesus heard what had happened, by the way, is His cousin had been beheaded. It's a big one. He withdrew by boat privately to a solitary place. Hearing of this, the crowds followed Him on foot from the towns. I love that. I went to be alone and they followed me. Anyways. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, He had compassion on them and healed their sick. As evening approached, the disciples came to Him and said, "This is a remote place and it's already getting late. Send the crowds away so they can go to the villages and buy themselves some food." Jesus replied, "They do not need to go away. You give them something to eat." "We have here only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish," they answered. "Bring them here to me," He said. Then He directed the people to sit down on the grass. So Jesus has heard, okay, now I've heard the situation, I've heard the challenges, I've heard the difficulties, I've heard that we've got 5,000 people here, maybe 15,000 people here on this little hillside. We're far from town, and we've got a couple loaves of bread and some fish. And okay, so that's our situation. Here's what I'll do. let's get everyone ready for dinner. Isn't that funny? That's a strange thing to do, Jesus. What are you going to feed them, right? Come on, everybody, sit down, sit down, sit down. I imagine people are looking at Jesus, excuse me, I'm going to sit down here, but it seems like you're wanting us to stay a while, and we're all hungry. So what are we going to do? No, just sit down. Come on, sit down. I know the situation. I know what's going on. I know what's been given. I know everything. Let's all sit down. I know the circumstances, people, Jesus says. I know what you're facing, people, Jesus says. I know what you're going through. I know the challenges. I know the difficulties. I know the traumatic experiences you've walked through. I know your struggle with addiction. I know your struggle with lying. I know the struggle that you're having right now with your marriage that's falling apart. I know that it's there. I know all things. But sit down and get yourself ready because I'm about to do something incredible. Jesus sits them down. They do not need to go away, he said. And then taking the 5 loaves and 2 fish and looking up to heaven, I love this, he gave thanks. Isn't that a funny thing to do? I think as if you've been in church for a long time, you probably thought, that's right, good Jesus, you always pray before your meal. You know, and Jesus always followed the religious rules, we all know that. No, like, good Jesus, you did. It's probably what you think. Did everyone hold hands? Okay, we're around the table. And we're good. I think something different is going on here than just, I know that I need to pray before I eat my bread and fish. Jesus gives thanks. What's he thanking God for? Have you wondered that? Like, what is he? He's sitting there and he's looking at the situation where there's too many people and the food where there's too little and a riot is probably about to happen because he can't feed everyone. And he sits down and says, thank you, Lord. For what? What's he thanking God for at that point? What is the Father in heaven receiving thanks for? Thank you, Lord, that I don't have enough. That's what he wouldn't say that. Let's say, thank you, Lord, that at least these 3 people are going to get fed. Come here, guys. Shh, 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 shh. Come here. And we're going to get in this boat, and you're going to get fed, and those people are going to be angry, and let's travel. No, Jesus isn't like, thank you, Lord, that you're giving us just enough to feed far less than actually what want to be fed and who need to be fed. Thank you, Lord, that we don't have enough. It's not a sarcastic thank you. Thanks, God. I've got 15,000 people here to feed, and you show up with a couple loaves and some fish with this little boy in his lunchbox, and you, that was really good, God. You're doing a great job up there. No, it's not sarcastic. It's not that. Jesus is seeing something that he wouldn't be able to see with his natural eyes. He's seeing something that you can't see if you just look with your eyes. He's seeing something that you can only see if you look with your spirit. That you can only see if you look with the part that connects you to God. You can only see if you look with the part, the eyes that God has given to you. He's seeing with different eyes saying, this is incredible. God, you have set up the exact need for us to see an incredible miracle right now. The table is set, literally. We've got all of these people sitting down, and I have way too little food. Thank you, Lord, that you are bigger than this challenge, that you have greater plans than this shortcoming, that my deficiencies prove that your sufficiencies are going to be all about God. And your name will be glorified. Worship team, you can come join me. Jesus recognizes something. He broke the loaves. He gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the people. I heard a great quote recently. Gratitude is thanking God after it happens. Faith is thanking God before it happens. What does that say about our circumstances? It says, I don't know. If I'm in bad circumstances, it hasn't happened yet. If I'm in bad circumstances, that thing that I'm ready to thank God for just hasn't happened yet. That's all. God, I thank you that though I'm going through turmoil, you said you'd wipe every single tear. And now I don't see that yet. I know I'm going to get there. Lord, I thank you that though I'm facing some serious situations here, you said there's eternal life where I will be with you. So I don't need to worry about what's going on right now, right here. Thank you for that. Thank you, Lord, that I don't feel quite capable to do the thing that you've asked me to do. Thank you, God, that you said you would put words in my mouth. That's mine. I'm often coming to church and thinking, Lord, why wasn't you're using me again? And it doesn't always sound happy and jokey with God either. Sometimes I'm like, God, you made a bad decision here. I don't know what I'm going to say. I don't know what's going to come out of my mouth. I don't know how I'm going to communicate this. How am I going to talk to grade sixers and 90-year-olds? How am I going to talk to people who have dropped out of high school and doctors? How am I going to talk to people who have been all through all sorts of stages of life who have no money and who have millions of dollars? How am I going to communicate the gospel to all of those people? And I don't know what I'm supposed to do with this, Lord. And I can drive to church and I can say, Lord, thank you. Thank you that today you have a plan. Thank you today that you want to do something in some lives. Thank you today that I have no idea what that is, because if I did, I would mess it up. Thank you, Lord, that before it happens, I know it will happen. And I don't know what it is, but I'm thankful that you have an it in mind, Lord. Because when I'm, gratitude is being thankful after it happens. Faith is being thankful before it does. Some of you are saying, I need an it in my life. I need an it to start happening in my life. I need that thing. I need some financial support. I need some help. I'm going through all sorts of turmoil. I can't figure out how to deal with the breakup that I've just walked through. I can't figure out how to deal with the hurt and the loss of that friend. I can't figure out how to deal with this job loss or this challenge or this particular person at work. I can't figure it out. I can't understand what I'm supposed to do. And I'm just going to complain about it until you do something about it, God. And God says to us, hey, start thanking me. You're in a circumstance, aren't you? Then all circumstances are good for thanking God. And as we do, we're stepping out in faith saying, God, I don't really know how it is going to happen, but I know it is going to happen because you have an it in store for me. And I will walk into it with thanksgiving. I will walk into it believing that there are great things, and I don't know what they are yet. When we try to tell God how to resolve our problems, you will turn into a complainer. Because God has a smarter brain than you. And He knows how to think situations through on an eternal kind of capacity. You know how to think things through today, tomorrow, maximum time. Maybe in this room we're probably under 100 years. I don't know if we have over 100 years here. That's just a tiny little blip. If we tried to solve all our problems and tell God how He should solve all our problems, we'll turn into complainers, because He has a different capacity, a different understanding. He knows more about what we need. He knows more about what this world needs. He knows more about what the Comox Valley needs. And when we just come to Him and say, Lord, I just know that there's an it in store and I thank you for it, we have stepped out in faith. Because gratitude is thanking God after it happens. And faith is thanking God before it happens. Be people of faith. Church, we have pies that are going out today. We're thanking our neighbors. What for? Some of you are like, I don't live here. These aren't my neighbors. Some of you might think, well, actually, those my neighbors aren't even that good, so I don't want to give things out to neighbors. This is a step of faith. We don't know what will happen, but we believe it will happen, God. And so we're going to go ahead and thank you and thank them for whatever you're going to do in them. I'm going to pray for these pies because I believe that actually, literally, I heard a story one time in Thailand of this girl who had an ice cream stand. And she would just pray every morning over each ice cream bar. Lord, I pray your blessing would follow this ice cream bar into the stomach of the person who's going to eat it. She started having testimonies coming back. Excuse me, what did you put in that ice cream bar? My life has been changed all of a sudden. What's going on? All of a sudden I'm making money at my business. What's going on? She goes, okay, go find a local church and give some of that money back because Jesus changed your life. She started saying, okay, time for you to go and serve in this way. Time for you to go and give in this way. They started coming to her. What's going on with your ice cream? She goes, I don't know. Have another one. Start speaking in memorized scripture all of a sudden. Who knows? We're going to pray for these pies. That as a husband who is angry at his wife, he will find it in his heart to forgive and to apologize. We're going to pray that a child who's determined to do nothing but rebel against their parents would all of a sudden find it in their heart to honor their parents and love them. We're going to pray for these pies that businesses that are being run and are sort of sinking at this point would all of a sudden start to flourish, and there would be a whole lot of money flowing into that house, because who knows why except a pie. That might be a good one. Who knows why things are happening, but I did get this pie in my life. What if the testimonies in the future aren't, yeah, it was a perfect completion to my meal, but instead the testimonies are, I don't know what happened, but I ate this pie, and the next day I went to work, and I got a whole bunch of new customers that we never had before. Or the next day I woke up, and my wife said she loved me. Or my husband said, let's go on a date. Or my kids said, I'm doing the dishes. Or my teacher said, you're a smart and capable student. What happens if all of a sudden you eat the pie and things change in your life? Well, they're going to come back to this church and say, what did you put in those pies? And we're going to say the Holy Spirit put something in your life. And it came through the pies. I don't know why, but here's a pie. Let's pray. Let's pray for these pies. If you want to, raise your hand and pray for these pies. You know what it feels like to get an angry stare? That means that negativity works in your life. Positivity works in our lives too. The Holy Spirit works. Lord, thank you so much that these pies have been made. They've been created. They've been baked for your glory, Lord, for your kingdom. Jesus, we pray in your great and mighty name that lives would be changed. Holy Spirit, bless every family, every home, every life, every neighbor who gets one of these pies. I pray for incredible blessings on their marriages, on their parenting, on their businesses, on whatever they're dealing with in their life, on their situations, on their families, their extended families. We pray for health in Jesus' name. We pray for life in Jesus' name. We pray, Lord, that all of a sudden their plumbing would start working better. Their electrical would be better. Their roofs would stop leaking, Jesus. That they would see incredible miracles happening, and they wouldn't know why, but they would know a pie came to the door. And we would tell them, Jesus Christ sent that to you, and he cares about your life. While you are still a sinner, while you're still not going to church, while you're still not got it all figured out, while you still haven't got everything sorted, he loves you. And he wants to bless you. Lord, bless homes through these pies in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.